in the midst of studying what the Bible says about our relationship to God, our understanding of His sovereignty, and how that influences our outlook on life, and vice versa, how our outlook on life and how our beliefs can be drawn down by some misunderstandings. So we're in the midst of thinking about what the author David Murray calls happy salvation, and comparing the difference between the gospel of do versus the gospel of done, and that done is greater than do. We looked especially at the biblical teaching of that in the last lesson, and now we're going to think about some practical aspects about it. You might remember that the gospel of do kind of shakes a finger at you and is always telling you, do more, do more, do more, do better, and theologically tends towards discouragement because you constantly fall because of that. We talked about different lead weights that come because of it. Instead, the gospel of done is one that we remind ourselves of the finished work of Jesus Christ and how that freedom is an important and substantial aspect of what God is doing in us. So David Murray gives some very practical aspects that I want to focus on today that he calls helps for living out the gospel of done. He begins with a heading that he calls re-believe the gospel of done. Re-believe the gospel of done. What Murray's laying his finger on here is the fact that it is very easy to slide down into the trough of thinking about your relationship to God based on your own good works or your own ability to be good. Now, I think probably intellectually you would answer this question right. So I have an experiment. I'll ask the question. Why should God let you into heaven?
Because I'm basically a good person.
Answer how you would answer that. That's how many people of the world will ask that, answer that. But answer it how I hope that your training would answer it.
Because it's a great transfer.
Okay, good. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say I never murdered anyone.
Uh-huh. I'm asking you how you would answer that question.
But, yeah, but we have the blood of Christ, and He's clothed with Christ's righteousness.
Good. I'm not preaching to those outside. I'm preaching to you.
But
to now.
I'm saying it to Peter.
define the great exchange.
My sin is put on Christ's cross. His righteousness is given to me, which is, both of those are absolutely vital.
Do you really believe that?
And that's
good. Every day, that's a question to ask. Do you believe that great exchange? Do you believe the gospel of done? Because the tendency is for our lives to slip down into this trough of the feeling of not measuring up, the feeling of I need to do better, the sense of depression because of that. Yes, Mary.
Is it possible to believe that when you go into heaven through Christ, but still struggle with trying to be better?
Yes, it is. That's the Christian life, I would say. And Mary will know that my answer to her when she asked this question is that you're not saved even by the purity of your faith. That's another place our minds will point a finger at it and say, do you really believe that? Do you believe it strong enough? Do you believe it pure enough? And you start to condemn yourself, and your conscience weighs you down because you think, I'm not believing that well enough or strong enough. And there's that sliding down into the tendency of thinking you need to do more to measure up in God's eyes, and the beginnings of guilty conscience and burden that comes because of that. Your sins have been taken by Christ. They have been paid for in full. Believe it. You will be able to point out all of your failings. And even in saying that, you could berate yourself of kind of like Luther, of going away and having confessed all that you were aware of. You come back with further guilt and say, I forgot one, and I'm guilty of forgetting, and condemn yourself more. Believe that you have been forgiven. There's a related area of this that we may begin with Christ, but then think we are kept by our faithfulness. That we are kept in God's grace by our obedience. So remind yourself every day of done. Rebelieve the gospel of done. It falls well within the remedies against Satan's devices. Think on what Christ has done every day. Think on what Christ has done for you. The sacrifice has been paid. Refocus, secondly, on Bible reading. Not as a to-do list, and not as I didn't remember to read my Bible today, I'm a bad Christian. but refocus on all of Scripture as being a story of that gospel of done. Murray asked this question, what's the Bible about? And the common answer to that question that he has received, and I have received that too, maybe you've thought of this as well, the common answer is to live a better life. There's the gospel of do. What the Bible is about is that God, having out of mercy sent his Son to save sinners, among whom I'm chief. The law does teach us how to live. The law does convict us of sin. But the Bible is about the great exchange. The Bible is about God's mercy. So, if you've thought about the Bible as merely teaching you how to live, then deepen your understanding about what the Bible is about by thinking of, as you read each day, think about God and His grace, and how God and His grace is portrayed in this passage. Some of you know that I like to train people to do an ABC Bible study. What does A stand for?
About.
About.
Passage about.
Yeah, so you read a passage and answer the question, what is it about? What does B stand for? Mary, do you remember?
Best verse.
Best verse. What is the best verse in this passage to you, and why? What stands out? Somebody else, what does C stand for? Commitment is the one that I've used mostly. Commitment. What should I do because of this truth? Well, I'm rethinking that ABC and thinking of C as being Christ, or maybe adding a D as done, so that the study is not just merely focused about what should I do, how should my life be better, but how is the gospel of done being affected in my life by this. Restudy salvation. This is number three, following Murray's outline. Restudy salvation. I've said some things along this line already. I won't say more, except that in 1 Peter 1:12 it says that when Christ appeared, it was something that angels longed to look into. Long to understand your redemption. One way you might do that is to make a list of all of the different words that the Bible uses to describe your salvation. Let's do that right now. Just very quickly, what words are used to describe salvation? Just call them out.
Eternal life.
Redemption.
Propitiation.
Good.
Complete.
Good.
Done.
Justification. Done. Yeah.
Peace.
Yep. Yep. Forgiveness, regeneration, adoption, atonement, victory. Those are all words now that you can take and look up in the Bible to find what the Scriptures say about your salvation. Long to look into it. Fourth, repent immediately. Repent immediately. If you think back to the lead weights that we talked about last week, the things that weigh our hearts down, many of them were about our conscience. Well, God has given us a conscience, and God, by His Spirit, convicts us of sin for good reason. We have real guilt. And so one way of dealing with guilt is, and really the only way of dealing with guilt, is through the gospel of done. It's through Jesus. That's to repent. So when you are convicted of sin, repent. Do it quickly. Do it today. And seek God's face that way. Fifthly, rest in peace. And I'm going to particularly call attention here to the Sabbath day as something that God has given for you to flourish in your happiness and salvation. The busyness of this life is a good reason to pause. The physical rest that God has given is a good reason to know the Sabbath day. But salvation that comes through Christ is a blessed reason to rediscover the Sabbath day and to consider it holy. It's a day in which you can think about what Christ has done for you. And to not have that attention crowded out by the concerns of work. Work which is good. Work which is important to do. But to have time to set aside to consider what God has done. It's appropriate. Isaiah 58 talks about turning our feet away from our enjoyment. There are things that we do on other days that are good and holy, recreation, that we set aside and rest on the Lord's day so that we can think about the gospel of done. So rediscover the peace of the Sabbath day and rejoice in it. Don't make it another thing that shakes a finger at you of breaking the Lord's day, of dishonoring that Lord's day. Don't make it a list of do's and don'ts and burdens, but instead make it a day of rest and rejoicing in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let that feed your soul. And then Murray counsels to begin and end the day with done. To think, as you start the day, it is finished. I know that when my alarm goes off, my mind usually clicks into, what do I have to do today? What's on my agenda list today? And what didn't I finish yesterday? And what probably I won't finish today? Begin consciously each day by thinking of the work of Christ for you, that there's a finished work that He has done for you. And then close your day with that as well. Several of the Psalms talk about speaking with God and meditating with Him in the night watches, of ending the day as you lie down in peace and thinking of the completed work of Christ. Psalm 4 speaks of that. Psalm 127 speaks of the blessing of peace, of sleep. So begin and end the day with the finished work of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." If you'd like to read a little further about this, Murray in his book has a really sweet meditation on the peace that we have with God. I've woven it into several things here that I've already said. But meditate on the passages that speak of that peace. Meditate on the completed work of Christ for you. One way that we uphold each other is to pray for each other. I'm going to ask you to share your request today, and then I'm going to close us in prayer today. So what are the prayer requests that you would like to share with each other?
Barbara had offered to try